Hi, this is Carolyn, and I'm here with Aaron, and we really appreciate Canna being here with us tonight. Canna is rated 4.0, and she played tennis in New Jersey. And we're really interested in what it's like to play tennis in different parts of the country. But Canna, can you start us off and tell us why you started playing adult tennis?
Sure. I think I just mentioned my husband and I started playing when we were, our kids were probably, you know, 3 and 7 or something like that. And, you know, we just noticed that we were doing so many things separately, like because someone had to stay home with the kids. So he would go out with his friends or then I would go out with my friends. And we just found we weren't doing anything together. And that was kind of one thing that we both enjoyed doing. And we weren't very good at it. But I happened to be reading Shape magazine and they had a tennis camp in Amherst, Nike tennis camp. So we went and I think there's about 15 courts there. We were put on court 15, the lowest court. And we went there for about 12 years. And by the time we left, we were on number one court. So we were really excited. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Was that a yearly thing or did you go pretty often?
Yeah,
oh,
no,
that's awesome.
They still have it. I think we might go this year.
This is an adults camp?
It's amazing. It's an amazing camp. You know, it's like summer camp, but you play tennis from about 9 to 11:30. There's lunch and then you play again from 1 to 4 and it's all clinics. And then you break for dinner and you eat at, you stay at Amherst dorms and you also stay at, you eat in the cafeteria. And so then there's some wine drinking and then there's playing, nighttime playing as well. So then there's fun playing. It's a lot of fun.
That sounds so cool.
It does. I've always talked about, like I've dropped my kids off at summer camp for years and I thought I need a summer camp. And that's
exactly like summer camp.
Wow.
But doing the funnest thing that you love to do, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. I have so many questions because I have heard, like, I don't want to say rumors, but we have enough people. So we play in North Carolina, all three of us now. I know you moved down here from New Jersey. And I have heard over the years, several people that have come to this area that have played in the Northeast that have said things like, oh, you have to play straight up. You can't flip courts up there or, you know, just like different things. So I have lots of questions for you. So I did a little research and it sounds like New Jersey is part of the the USTA Middle State district, I guess, or
correct
area. So tell me, I want to know, I know from talking to you before we started recording, you didn't play a ton of USTA, but tell me like what your experience was with, did you play a little USTA there or what other kind of social leagues or competitive leagues did you play in New Jersey?
Well, I think they'd mention USTA is not as popular as it is it's not as popular as it is here, certainly. And I ended up right before I left, I put together a team. And I want to say that everyone who was on that team had never been on a team before. Mm-hmm. And these were all 3, 5, and 4-0s. So, you know, it's something that it's some people do it, but a lot of people don't do it. Mm-hmm. And what people do who play tennis in the daytime is the Garden State Women's League. And that's a league of about 1,400 people. So it's a big league. And there's 4 courts on each team. You have to run 4 teams, an A team, a B team, double A and double B. So it's a lot of people that you need. And our club was so big that we ran 2 teams out of, you know.
So you had 8 courts.
We had 8 teams of 4 courts each.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
it's a lot of
juggling.
It's a lot of juggling. And the setup was different in that it was really individualistic. So your team, you know, since everyone was in every flight, you couldn't move, your team couldn't move up or down. Only you could move up or down. So if you were on court 4 on the lowest, if your rating went above 80% or 70% win rating, you got to move up to court 3. And then eventually if you did well enough, you could get up to A team court 1. That was the best that you could do.
So A, B, double A, double B. So how do they, like, how does that start out? Like, how do they field people or rank them?
You have to try out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You have to try out.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. For your team? You try out for the team.
And as I recall, it's about $1,500 to join the team. So for the, you have to try out for the privilege, you know, maybe it wasn't quite that much. $1,200, but it was, you know, it was a chunky amount of money to join. And our team in particular had a pro at the time who has since passed away, but he was like straight out of The Sopranos. Like when I first came, he's wearing like a velour sweatsuit, you know, it's like unzipped, and he's yell, you know, he calls you use girls, you know,
use girl.
He kind of determined the lineup, and you kind of had to take clinics with him as well. It was kind of an unwritten rule. So
once you're in the family,
you're paying that $1,100 bucks, you know, and then you have the uniform, which I think you and I spoke a little bit about, that you had to buy every season. You know, you had to buy the Nike uniform, and you had to buy 2 shirts, 2 skirts, a home and away, and shoes.
Love it.
And, you know, by the time every season you had to buy the uniform. You didn't necessarily have to buy the shoes, I guess, but you know, one year it was like neon green and like dark brown, you know, like, what are you going to do? You got to buy the shoes, right? Like, you don't have anything to match that.
So who chooses the uniform? This is hilarious. I love this.
He chose the uniform, and it was usually from the Nike spring line.
And did you have to pay him directly? And then he bought it for everyone. And wow. Yeah. So this is crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Okay. And those uniforms were like, you said like one time, I mean, they were like kind of expensive, you know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say from here, no one would, I think I've never seen a uniform. And whenever I brought it up, I think, you know, people have said, oh, we don't want a uniform, but there is kind of like an easy thing of like, oh, I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear, you know,
you
wear your home or you're away or whatever, you know, your uniform.
That's so
funny. You're part of a team. But I wouldn't want to spend, what did you say? It was like $700.
Like the first year, I think, you know, because I had to buy like the pants and like the jacket. And, you know, it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I love this. You try out for a team. You have to buy a uniform. Like you're adult rec players. You're not like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you're, that is so funny.
And it was such a moneymaker. And the funny thing is, I was telling my husband is, you know, I know more than one person who was kicked off of a team, and for them to kick you off and have to give you your money back, like it's pretty bad.
Yeah. What do you have to, I wonder what kind of situations would you have to get yourself into to get kicked off? Like getting a fight on a court?
So difficult. Oh, I don't know. I think we mentioned it just talking, but you know, fights on courts, not that it happened every time, I don't want to say, but it was certainly not an unusual thing. I've been in many situations where, you know, someone would threaten someone physically or, you know, go out in the parking lot, a lot of cursing, a lot of, you know, that was not an unusual thing that would happen.
So nothing fazes you in Raleigh tennis, I'm assuming.
Oh, everyone's so nice.
So nice.
Yes.
So nice. Yeah. This whole area is so nice.
Yes.
Oh, that is crazy. I love it.
Yeah. I've never had anyone threaten me. So no. That's good.
I know. No. And so now I feel like, okay, like I feel ready for anything. You know, like.
Yeah. This is tame. I mean, we've joked about thinking that people have been like putting us in a situation where we're in a tryout situation. Carolyn definitely feels like when she was a 2-5, like it was like
I'm
a singles
sure I
team.
Got cut. I got
yeah, she got cut from the team.
I'm sure you get invited to like a fun play and right.
And then you're like, why are they all watching me so intently? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But yours was a true tryout. That's so funny. Okay, so I've heard a rumor that in the Northeast, and maybe it's USTA, but I think you said you heard it as well, but that you're supposed to play straight up. So, like, I know you said you had, like, your league, that makes sense because there were tryouts, and so they could kind of assess people. But how would someone know, I guess based on, in that league, it was based on wins and losses, but I've heard people say, like, you can't flip courts around. You can't, like, for strategy to win a match, thinking if I throw my best players on 3, you know, maybe we can win 2 out of 3 courts or 3 out of 5 or whatever, you know. So that sounds like it's true. You can't flip.
At USTA, it was expected that 1, 2, and 3 were in order of strength. I played on a team that had gotten kicked out of Middle States before because they did flip. And he continued to flip in, I can't remember what region it is, but it's wherever Pennsylvania is. It's okay. Like, you know, I guess on the eastern side of New Jersey.
Yeah.
But this person was notorious for flipping, and he flipped and he sandbagged like crazy. Like he would bring in people, since so many people had not played USTA, he would bring them in as a 2-5.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wait, now how did you get caught though? Like how did someone get caught flipping?
He won all the time?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean,
well, he won every match.
Is that so many people knew him, they would always flip on him. So court one was really court three.
Interesting.
So it wasn't as successful as you would think it was.
Right. Would you have to travel? Like if you're in New Jersey, I mean, I know New Jersey is next to Pennsylvania, but mm-hmm. were you traveling far away for matches or?
When we played in that USTA that was out of not Middle States, but you know, the other air region, yes, we would have to drive quite far.
Wow.
But he was someone, you know, that team went to nationals. It was a good team, but it was kind of a little bit of a mixture of sandbagging and, you know.
Right.
But it was stated to you guys that you're not supposed to flip, because we had someone on the podcast recently, Amanda from Florida, and she said they don't even think about it as 1, 2, and 3. They just think about it as 3 courts.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that you guys are told, hey, don't flip.
Yeah. We had a league that awarded, I can't remember what league it was, but they gave 3 points for court one, 2 points for court two. And, you know, somehow they had done, or like a 5-3-1. So you couldn't win without court one, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone, that's funny you mentioned that, because someone on our team a couple years ago, we had lost, I think we had lost more courts than we had won, but she kept saying, well, how did we do on court one? And we're like, it doesn't matter. Like the math is we lost, let's say, you know, we won 2 courts and lost 3 in the spring. And she's like, yeah, but how did we, and we kept explaining to her, we didn't understand why she didn't understand that we lost the match, but that was exactly it. She was from the Northeast and it was, the courts were weighted differently.
Weighted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of takes care of that flip, you know, start putting your strongest players on court one.
Mm-hmm. They do that now for our 40 over league, because if you split, because we are doing what National does, where we're only playing 4 courts, we're playing 3 doubles and 1 court of singles. Okay. And if you split 2 and 2, it's not a straight win. And then it goes down to, I guess it's maybe sets.
Yeah.
And games.
Set one, game one.
Then games. And then if that's all tied up, which to tell you the truth, sometimes that actually happens. It's all tied up. And then it comes down to who won.
It happens so much more than, you know, it would be so interesting. Like you would expect. Yeah.
Yeah. So no playoffs in that league of 1,300 people or whatever, right? You just end up
at the
top.
There's no playoffs. So that's why it's so individualistic. Like, you know, you're really just trying to get up to court one on the A team.
Gotcha.
You know, so, you know, there's a lot of bickering of why am I playing with this one? What, you know,
it
becomes really important because it affects your personal win loss record.
Do you get to pick your partner? Do you get to pick your own partner? They pick it for you?
They pick it for you.
Now that is interesting. I think that is really interesting to have someone pick the partner for you. Did you like that, Kanna, or did you
not? And was it consistent?
I found that I was consistently kind of playing with the same people.
Based on availability?
There is no, you're available every, it would be frowned upon if you were not available.
Wow. Captains, really listen up. No.
Yeah. Very frowned upon.
This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
If you're going to join our team in Raw, you're going to be available for every single match.
Yes. Like, of course, every once in a while, if you weren't available, that would be okay, but it would really be frowned upon. And most people were paying a lot of money, so, you know, they wanted to play.
Thanks very much to Kanna for talking about her experience playing tennis in New Jersey. It sounds a little more intense than what we play in North Carolina, but I kind of like the idea of weighting court one more than the other courts to prevent flipping. There's a part two where Kanna will talk about her crazy situations that happened on the court, and they are pretty funny. If you'd like to see a picture of Kanna or listen to any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, which is secondservepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening, and hope to see you on the court soon.